Today on the Pastor Study, we're going to continue and possibly conclude our series on the seven mysteries as found in the Word of God. Today's mystery, we begin with the question, what is the mystery of the blindness of Israel? What is the mystery of the blindness of Israel? And the answer is, it's the partial blindness of Israel during the church age to the fact that Jesus Christ is their Messiah and Savior. And this mystery is found, the mystery of the blindness of Israel, is found in the book of Romans chapter 11. Let's turn there together, Romans chapter 11. And we want to begin reading in verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching for election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Again, this is the seventh in a series of studies on the seven mysteries in the Bible. People who do not properly understand this mystery believe that God is through with Israel and that the church has replaced Israel in all of the Old Testament promises that God gave to Israel. They believe that God will not give Israel an inheritance in the millennial reign of Christ. Many of them do not believe that Jesus Christ will have a literal, physical, visible second coming to the earth. Rather, they believe that Jesus Christ is reigning from heaven today, spiritually, and that the church will get whatever inheritance was promised to Israel. That's why it's so important, my friends, to properly understand this mystery. According to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 that we just read, Paul said that any man who did not understand the partial blindness of Israel was ignorant and conceited. So since we do not want to be ignorant and conceited, let's figure out what this mystery is all about. When Jesus Christ came to the earth, the Jews were looking for a king who would bring in a kingdom during their lifetime. Let's first turn to the Gospel of Luke with me, chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, and verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And of course, we know that a person in the church age who's born again that calls upon the name of the Lord enters into the kingdom of God. Now, but we see that the Jews were looking for a king who would bring in a kingdom, amen, during their lifetime. In fact, we see at the ascension of Christ, when he went up, amen, we know that Christ was resurrected, he appeared, he was on this earth for a while, and then his final ascension up to the third heaven. Looking in Acts chapter 1, the disciples were there when he went up. In Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6 and 7. When they therefore were come together, They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This is to ask the Lord this question just before he's ascended. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. In fact, when Jesus Christ made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem 4 days before his crucifixion, they thought their king was coming to take the throne. Listen to the remarks that were made as he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, amen. First, we want to look at the Gospel of Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 21, amen, Matthew 21. And we'll look at verses 8 through 11 in Matthew 21. We read, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Now let's look at the gospel account of the same event in Mark 11, and we want to look at verse number 10. Mark 11, verse number 10. We read in the Word of God, they said that day, Blessed be the kingdom of our father, David, that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. They thought Jesus Christ was indeed their king, and he was coming to take the throne. One last place, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter number 19 with me. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19, in verse number 38. This is what they said, saying, Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But soon they found out that he was not going to rule as their king at that time. And they rejected him and demanded that he be crucified. Let's look first in the Gospel of John in chapter 18 with me. In John chapter 18, in verses 36 and 37, Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So he told him he was not going to rule at that time, that his kingdom was not of this world. So we see that they rejected him. Look at John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 19, in verses 14 and 15. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king. This is Pilate speaking. And notice how they answered in verse 15 of John 19. They cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And then, of course, we see in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 23, they demanded that our Lord be crucified. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse number 20 with me. And Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So we see that they soon found out that he was not going to rule as their king. Amen. He was rejected of them, of the chief priests of the nation of Israel. And they demanded that he be crucified. At the time that the Jews demanded that Jesus Christ be crucified, they did not realize that they were going to crucify the Lord of glory. Look with me, if you would, in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, in verses 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, they had no idea that God would raise him from the dead and exalt him to his right hand and make him, as the Word of God says in Acts chapter 5, verses 30 to 31, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. They did not realize that they had, according to Acts chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, that they had denied the Holy One and the just and killed the Prince of Life. You see, though they could see, they were blind to who he really was. Look at the Gospel of Matthew with me in Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 15. Jesus said this concerning the Jews, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. In their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. See, though they could see physically, spiritually they were blind. Their hearts had waxed gross. Their ears spiritually were dull of hearing. Their eyes spiritually were blind, amen, to who Jesus Christ really was. Their problem, my friend, plain and simple, was unbelief. As Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 46, for had you believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Amen. And then if we go back to Romans chapter 11 for just a moment. Romans 11 and verses 20 and 23. We read, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Look at verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So what Paul is writing here about is the natural olive tree, branches, Israel. Amen. Were broken off because of their unbelief. They didn't believe who Christ was. But he's saying that they can be grafted back in. The natural branches can be grafted back in. Amen. When they believe who Jesus Christ was and is. Amen. Following the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Israel as a whole still rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Let's look, for example, in Romans chapter 9, in verses 2 through 4. Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Paul had a burden, amen, for the Jews. He said he would rather be, if he could be accursed, a loss, so that they could be saved. Again, he talks about this burden, amen, over how Israel rejected the Messiah. In Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they had zeal of God. See, they were very zealous about the things of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They thought what they were doing right was pleasing God, but in reality it wasn't. They made up their own righteousness, their own rules and regulations. And then in verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Now, many Jews individually received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We want to look at some verses that speak about that. We're going to be turning to the book of Acts together. In the book of Acts, first in chapter number 2, Acts chapter number 2, and in verse number 36. First in verse 36. We'll look at some verses in Acts 2. First in verse 36, we read, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And then look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word, amen, Peter's preaching here, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we see in these verses here in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, there were actually many individual Jews who did receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 4 in verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. So again, we see many here 5,000 believed. Individual Jews believed that Jesus Christ, received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And then we want to look in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. Chapter 5 of the book of Acts, here in verse 28, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And of course, here the apostles were instructed not to preach in the name of Jesus, not to teach in the name of Jesus, because they saw that many were individual Jews were being converted. Then in John chapter 6 and verse 7, we read, "And the word of God increased in the number of disciples," listen to this, "multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So here we see even some of the priests, individual priests, being saved, receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen for that. However, there were likewise many Jews who were absolutely opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ and fought every attempt for the gospel to be spread. In fact, before his conversion, Paul was one of those who fought every attempt for the gospel to be spread, amen, who opposed the Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. In fact, we see that he was there, amen, at the stoning of Stephen, amen. In fact, he was on his way to Damascus, on the road to Damascus. That's where he was converted, amen, to bring back. He had the authority to bring back Christians to Jerusalem so they could be persecuted and put on trial. Looking in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, we read, "And Saul," that's Paul before he was converted, "yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." And then looking in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13 with me, in verse number 50. We read, "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts." So here we see the opposition to the gospel, amen, to the spreading of the gospel. Persecution was brought against Paul and Barnabas, amen, as they were spreading the gospel, as they were preaching the word of God and telling people how they could be saved. Then we read in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren." So here we see again opposition to the spreading of the gospel, to the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Then look with me in Acts chapter 19, in verse number 1. "And it came to pass, that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples." Obviously, that's not the passage I wanted. Actually, we want to go back to Acts chapter 14 in verse number 19. And we read, And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." So here we have the account where the Apostle Paul was actually stoned and left for dead on the road. Amen. See? We see the great opposition here. Great opposition, even to the point of murdering and stoning the Apostle Paul. That's how much some people opposed the Lord Jesus Christ and fought every attempt for the spread of the gospel. Amen. And then look at with me also. We got to turn to for this reference the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians with me, if you would. in verse chapter number 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in verses 14 through 16, we read, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Paul's writing the church at Thessalonica, and it says, you've suffered, you've been persecuted, amen, for the cause of Christ. And then in verse 15, "who both kill the Lord and Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." And Paul is speaking about the Jews, amen, that opposed him, that wouldn't allow him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles so they might be saved. Amen. But we see at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Romans 11, verse 26, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." You see, God is going to make a new covenant with Israel, whereby all Israel shall be saved. And that's what Romans 11:26 says. And we're going to stop here today because I have much more material to talk about and references to look at that talk about how Israel is going to be saved and the covenant that God is going to make with the nation of Israel when he comes, and how Israel will be saved, amen, how God will remove their blindness, and the nation of Israel as a nation will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, Messiah, and King. And that's coming very soon, I believe. As we see, we're in the end times, as we see perilous times, as Paul said there in the book of Timothy. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper or listen to the radio, amen, to see what's happening, going on in the world, what's taking place in the nation of Israel and Iraq and so forth and so on. So we need to be busy while it's still day before the Lord returns to reach as many souls that we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be in the field of harvest. We need to be laboring. We need to keep our hand to the plow and don't look back. And we need to be listening for the shout for the voice of the archangel, amen. The Lord's coming back soon, my friend. Are you ready? Will you be glad to see him?